John chapter 5 in your Bible. John chapter 5. Isn't it good to hear Bible pages turning? It's always a safe thing when people are looking in their Bible. It's good. John chapter 5. We're going to read verses 39 to 44. I'll read verse 39, and then you read verse 40 with me. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And let's pray together, shall we? Father, we come as your people this morning. Thank you. As we come to the preaching, Lord, please use this truth in the lives of each person here. Give us a heart, Lord, for what you have for us. Father, we need you. You're the reason for it all. What a wonderful God. What a loving God. What a great salvation you've given us. Lord, we ask this for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. As you come to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you come to one of the books of the Bible. There's two that are written to show us how to get saved. And to show you that, you're in John chapter 5. Go back to John chapter 20 and just let me show you what I'm saying here. Look, we're going to come right back to John 5, but go to John 20. And Thomas didn't come to church like he should, and that's why he doubted. He said, unless I put my hand in his side and reach my finger in the wounds in his hands, I won't believe. And he said that because he wasn't in church when you read the chapter. Well, he comes to church later, right? The gathering of the disciples. And Jesus says, reach your hand in my side. Put your finger in the wounds that I suffered for you. Then Thomas said, I believe. Then, at the end of the chapter, look at verse number 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Watch verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So God tells us the purpose of the book of John is to show us how to get saved. So when you read the book of John, okay, now go ahead and go back to chapter 5, but let me introduce this to you. When you read the book of John, 21 chapters, you're only reading 7 days of Jesus' life here on this earth. 7 days where Jesus is going to go through, obviously the crucifixion is in there and the resurrection, but Jesus is going to show you every chapter shows an aspect of Jesus that he was God Almighty in the flesh. In John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Tonight we'll take communion. We don't really call it communion. We call it the Lord's Supper. And it has nothing to do with taking the bread and the grape juice. In other words, it has nothing. When Jesus said, I am the bread, you have to eat me and drink my blood. It was all spiritual talk. It had nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. It was a year and a half before the Lord's Supper. But he said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. In John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. It's not through a church. It's not through a religious system. It is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus that he shed for us on the cross. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am your source for everything. So as you read the book of John, You're introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and how He is God who put on flesh and came here to this earth and lived a perfect sinless life for 33 and a half years and died for us. Now, we come to John 5. If all you had, books like We Know It that have a binding on it came around the 4th century in the 300s. But what were books before they were bound like this? They were scrolls, right? Before the 4th century, you couldn't have carried a whole Bible. They were animal skins that were rolled up, and no man could carry a book of 66 books until they started binding it like this. Okay, now praise God, we get to have the whole Word of God. And we can carry it with us and take it with us. You say, why would I tell you that? There was a time when people only had a section of the Bible. And really, the Bible wasn't put in people's homes. It was too expensive. They kept the Bible at the church. But then, of course, the printing press comes along and, of course, the history of all that. Why am I telling you that? If all you had as a section of your Bible was John chapter 5, there's enough in John chapter 5 to show you how to get saved. There are certain parts of the Bible, if that's all you had and you didn't have the whole Bible, God would be able to show you in His Word how to be saved. Let me show you something. Here in John 5, my text is verse number 44. Okay, John 5, 44. I'm just going to lightly cover the whole chapter and then we're going to zero in on this verse. John 5:44 says, how? Jesus asked this question, how can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So, here's what happens. If you read John 5 for yourself, a lame man who's born cripple is at the temple, he's at the pool of Bethesda, he wants to be put into the water so he can be made whole and healed. Jesus comes to him, heals him, showing Jesus, John chapter 5 shows Jesus' power over our infirmities and disease. Jesus walks up to the lame man and says, take up your bed and walk. Doesn't even know it's Jesus, finds out it's Jesus later, and then from verse 16 on, well, look at verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So when you read John chapter 5, from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, he's talking to Jews that hate him, that will not get saved. He's an interruption to their religion. They've already got their Judaism. You wash your hands a certain way. You do certain things when you come to church, and all Jesus is to them is a disruption of their religious system. So they seek to kill him. They seek to, from verse 16 on, these are Jews that hate Jesus, and then notice how he addresses them. He starts telling them, here, you need to know this. Let's just look at the chapter here. Ready? It says here, verse number 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, I wish you'd take careful note of this, because when we go soul winning and we tell people about the Lord, I've covered this in soul winning, but watch the verse very carefully. Look at verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, which is Saturday, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. See, over here in the West, if we heard Jesus say that, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work, did you get everything out of verse 18 that the Jews did? They said, you just said God is your Father. Watch this. When we talk, I'm the Father, this is the Son, this is my grandson, we think separation, right? Individual people. In your Bible, the Jews automatically knew when Jesus said, God is my Father, they automatically knew you just made yourself equal with God. Yes, Jesus is equal with God. He is God Almighty in the flesh. But that angered the Jews, and now they're seeking to kill him more. All right, look at verse number 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Here's what Jesus is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to say, you have to see me as God. Here's Jesus in the flesh, and they're looking at the creator of the universe. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, I'm one with the Father. He does that for the next couple of verses. Because look, yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but do you know who that was? That was the same God that created you. Your creator, the one you sinned against, came down to earth, did what you could not do, and lived a perfect life, and then sacrificed himself for you. That's who was dying. The blood that was coming down the cross was God's blood. That's why it can wash away sin. All right, so Jesus explains, no, I am God in this chapter. Skip on down here. Look at verse number 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Does everybody see? He's talking to Jews that hate him. They're wanting to kill him. And he said, look, he said, if you hear my word, if I've shown you, they're talking to the living word of God. That's the Lord Jesus. He said, when you hear, he that hears my word, the word of God, and believes on him that sent him, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God says here, you have everlasting life and you won't come into condemnation. What's that mean? That means, until you believe on Jesus Christ and him only, you're condemned. I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to wait till I die and God will figure it out. It's already been figured out. The judge has already in the courtroom, God Almighty has already sent the gavel home. You're condemned to die and burn forever in the lake of fire because of your sin. You're condemned. And God says, Jesus is saying here, verse 24 is such a beautiful verse. Jesus is saying, if you'll hear my word and believe on him that sent me, you'll have everlasting life and you won't come into condemnation. And then just so that you understand it, look at the last part of the verse, but is passed from death unto life. What a verse. That tells me this, as you read your Bible, like I told you, if all you had was John chapter 5 and you didn't have any other part of the Bible, you have enough to get saved. Jesus said, before you get saved, you're dead in trespasses and sins. And when you put your faith in him and him only, not a church, not baptism, not something you can do, when you put your faith only in him, you get resurrected and that part of you that's dead, your spirit, gets resurrected and you become alive to God. You get passed from death unto life. What a verse. You know what I was before I got saved, June 7, 1986? I was dead. I was walking death. I had a mind, I had a soul, but I had no spirit. I was dead to God. And June 7, 1986, when I placed my faith in Jesus, I was passed from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life. When did that happen to you? For you to get to heaven, you have to be born again, and you have to be passed from death to life. And it's not a process, it's not a religion, it is a decision you make with the one who died for you. But isn't this beautiful? Also the one that created you. John 5:24 is a beautiful verse in your Bible. Let's keep on going here. Look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So those that are spiritually dead will hear the word of God, Jesus Christ, that's who the word of God is, and then they can be saved. And then verse 26 says, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Don't think this is strange. Then he's going to go take one more different direction. He's going to say, For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now Jesus was teaching about salvation. Now he's going to start talking about, watch, everybody gets a resurrected body. Everybody who's ever been born is going to rise from the dead. Okay? Watch closely. He says there's coming a day when all those in the graves are going to hear God's voice and they're going to come out of the grave. Watch this. It says here, Look at verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So the rapture is getting ready to take place. It's going to happen right before the 7-year tribulation. And if you've been saved and you die, your body will be resurrected, or if you're alive, your body will be changed, and you get to go to heaven, and then all hell breaks out loose here on the earth, literally, for 7 years. Then Jesus comes again, and there's a 1,000-year reign where he reigns the universe from Jerusalem. Then the dead, everybody who's ever been died in 7,000 years of world history is going to rise from the dead, the resurrection of damnation. Everybody, and they're going to have a resurrected body, a body that cannot die, a body that does not get tired, doesn't need to eat, doesn't get sick. The Bible teaches everybody is going to get a resurrected body. The resurrected damnation is all the people who weren't saved are going to rise, get a brand new body, a supernatural, eternal body, and they're going to stand before God. And then because they never asked Jesus to save them, there's never a time in their life when they placed their faith in him, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where their body cannot die, and then they will just burn for all eternity. Everybody gets a resurrected life. I've heard some people say, well, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, you get resurrected. Okay, Jesus taught whether you're lost and on your way to hell, or whether you're saved or on your way to heaven, you're getting a resurrected body. For your sake, I hope you're saved so you can get a body that won't die in heaven, not a body that won't die in hell. Amen? Let's keep on reading, because I'm going to come down here to verse 44. We're almost there. Jesus said here, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is there another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he... You know what he's telling him? He's saying, I'm telling you, I am God in the flesh. And if you reject me, you've rejected God and his word. That's what he's pleading with them. That's why before he told them, you can't believe. Now, let me work my way through this, and let's go down here to verse number 44. Jesus, okay, well, look at verse 42. He says, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. So everybody get this pictured. He's talking to a group of Jews that hate him. He's told them how to be saved, but they don't want to be saved. Then he says, verse 44, this is my text verse this morning. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not that the honor that cometh from God only? So Jesus asks them, he said, you're so controlled by peer pressure and what people think. How can you trust me? Your religion won't let you. Isn't that what he's saying? In other words, I see a Savior that could save them, but they don't want to trust him. And he's so finally, I don't think Jesus was ever frustrated beyond operation, but Jesus just says, how can you believe? You're so controlled by what your church says, by what your religion has taught you, by what you think. The Bible is never allowed to correct you. How can you be saved? How can you believe? What a statement. To me, I look at it as, look, the word believe means this. When you read the book of John, all 21 chapters, you're going to read the word believe 52 times. You're going to read the word believe in all of its forms over 90 times. The first time you read the word believe, I want to show you what Jesus meant by the word believe. You're in the book of John, just go to chapter 1. Let's look at the first time it's used. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, Look at verse 6. John chapter 1, and look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist now. John the Baptizer, I guess you could say. What's the word? What's Baptist mean? The word baptize means to immerse. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. It doesn't mean to pour water. So the definition of the word baptize means to completely put under or bury. All right? So John the Baptizer or John the Immerser is being witnessed of here. And watch what God says about him. Verse number 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Watch this. That all men through him might believe. So what did John the Baptist preach then? You're in John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. Ready? The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was John's message. John never did a miracle. He never healed anybody. All he did for 3 months until he got his head cut off, because he told Herod, you're sleeping with another man's wife. She got upset. Herod knew he was doing wrong. And everybody knew, but she said, I want that preacher's head on a charger. And so John only preached for 3 months, but guess what he preached for 3 months? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For 4,000 years, the Jews had been making sacrifices, well, actually 2,000, and then they'd been making sacrifices pointing to the Messiah to come, and finally he's here. The sacrifice, the Messiah, God in the flesh is here, and he's the only one that can take away your sin. That was John the Baptist's message for 3 months. Now, you're in John chapter 1. Let's look at the word believe one more time. We're looking at the word believe. Look at verse 12. Ready? The second time the word believe is used in the book of John is verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The word believe is it is God's requirement of faith for any person to be saved. The word believe does not mean know about. Like if I said, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? I would be saying, that's how we use the word believe. We say, do you know about Abraham Lincoln? Do you think he really existed? That's not how your Bible uses the word believe. Jesus said, if any would believe on him, the word believe means to solely depend upon or only rely upon. It means to roll over on and put all of your weight on. Jesus said, that's why Jesus said, if you'll believe on me, you'll have everlasting life. If you'll stop trusting everything else, your church, you, your baptism, your anything that you can do, and instead believe or believe on or put your trust only in him who died for you, that is when somebody becomes a child of God. Let's go back to John chapter 5, verse 44, and I'm just going to help develop this thought one more time, and then we're going to take it in a direction for all of us. I see the heartbreak of Jesus talking to Jews that he came to save, and they're hating him and wishing him dead. Finally, he just says, how can you believe? He said, you're so controlled with opinion. You're so controlled about what other people think and what will my neighbors say. And how can you? You can't get saved because you're so concerned about what other people think. Everybody see that in the verse? And you see the heartbreak of God. He's wanting to save them. He's wishing that they would get saved, but they won't believe. And he says, how can you believe? They cared too much about what other people thought. Other people's opinions bothered them. And you know how come I thought of this verse as far as applying to us today? Have you ever seen a day and age where the opinion of people mattered so much? Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, all that stuff. I don't do any of that. I message and I email. Amen. If you need more than that, God bless you. Okay? That's enough. All right? I don't do Facebook. I'm not going to do Facebook. But watch. Do you know what we're watching happen? You know what's shaping our society? People's opinions. Well, I think they should have done this. Well, I think this. And then all people do on Facebook is they find, you agree with me, don't you? This happened to me at work, and I got, my boss is such a meanie. You agree with me, don't you? And all they're doing is giving opinions. And our society is getting run by opinions. When I was growing up, my dad used to say, son, your opinion's like an armpit. Everybody's got one and everybody stinks. Just do what you're told. Boy, that makes life simple, doesn't it? In other words, when they're saying, well, I think the president ought to do this. Well, I think it ought to. If you are not an elected official, which and some I think have been from voter fraud, but that's neither here nor there. If you're not in that position and you're not responsible for that, why are you shooting your mouth off? Why are you putting it on the internet for the whole world to see? And then when they do put their opinion up, they get upset when somebody disagrees with them.
Well, I think you're stupid.
Oh, they think I'm stupid. That's their opinion about your opinion. What in the world? Have you ever seen a society so driven? And you know what scares me? With public opinion meaning so much, it scares me that there'll be people that die and go to hell because they cared too much about what other people thought. And your relationship with God is between you and God, not you and your neighbor. Now, it is a personal... Look, a husband and wife don't get saved, even though they're one. You get saved individually. And you know when you get saved? You get saved when you say, my opinion has been wrong. I've been lied to by my church. I was frustrated when I got saved. I was lied to. My youth director, I remember I stepped outside and when you stepped out of the church in Lansing, Michigan, you had an Episcopal church here, a Catholic church here, a Lutheran church across the street, and I can't remember, I think it was a Methodist church over across the street. I remember being an 11-year-old boy, and I stepped out the church doors, and I looked at all the churches. And I asked the youth worker, I said, what's the difference with all the churches? And I'll never forget what he said. I was 11 years old. He said, they're all right. They all go to heaven. He said, everybody's just got a different way of doing it. When I got saved and I learned Jesus is the only way to heaven, I was furious. I'd been lied to. No, all roads don't go to heaven. That is a humanistic, it makes sense here, but there's no Bible but to back that up. God's Word does not teach that. And Jesus, I fear in a society that's driven by opinion, I hear Jesus saying to us today, how can you believe? You receive honor one of another. You're so concerned about what other people think and if they're going to like or dislike you or hit the subscribe button or the like button. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of hearing that too. Please hit the like button at the bottom of my opinion. Thumbs up, thumbs down, you know. I wish they had, never mind. It just amazes me. The reason any person would die and go to hell is because they care too much about what others think. They care too much about what their church says. And Romans 3:4 says, I love this verse, let God be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. I don't care what a church says. I don't care what somebody else says. The only thing I can trust is the eternal Word of God. And if what they're telling me does not match in the Bible, it proves that I'm being lied to. I'm being lied to. This is shown one more time in the book of John. We're in John chapter 5. Let's go to one more place and then I'm going to give you some application. Go to John 12. Go to John 12. This idea of public opinion keeping you from growing spiritually, from getting saved, from growing spiritually. This is in John 5. He said, you care too much about what other people think. That applies to us today. And then in John chapter 12, he says, you can't grow spiritually because you care too much. Look at verse 37. John chapter 12, look at verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Watch this. Therefore they could not believe. Look, when you tell God no, 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 over and over again, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. You can only tell God so no so many times. That's what you're seeing in John 12. They would not believe on him, and I believe they told God no so much that you go down a few verses, they could not believe. God says, fine, then do it your way. That's a sad day. Let's keep on reading here. Watch this. Look at verse 40. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, watch this. Watch verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, watch, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Look at verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So in John chapter 4, you have Jesus frustrated with Jews that are hating and want him to kill him. You say, you can't be saved because of how you're thinking. You care too much about what other people think. Then you come to John chapter 12, and Jesus points out to us there were rulers that believed on him, but they couldn't go any further in their Christian life because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. See the similarity? He said, you receive honor of men. He said, you care too much about what other people think. Do you know what it takes for you to grow spiritually? Yeah, let me start with salvation. Do you know what it takes for you to get saved? It takes for God to speak to your heart, convict you of your sin, and you have to say, I don't care what a church says. I don't care what anybody's told me. I care what the Bible says, and I'm going to place my faith in Christ. That's step one. Then do you know what it takes for you to grow? John 12. It takes you being able to say, you know, because look, people don't mind when you get saved, but when you start living for God, it starts convicting them. You can get saved in America, but what frustrates your neighbors is when you're on your way to church Sunday morning and they're looking out their windows, being the good neighbors that they are, you go, on my way to church. Well, they know they should be going. They were taught better than that growing up. Amen. But you doing right and trying to do what God wants you to do bugs them. And it'd be a lot easier for them if you would just stay at home like they do. Right? If you care to... Let me say it again. To get saved, you have to say, I don't care what other people think. And to live for God after you get saved, it takes the same resolve. I told the teenagers, you better learn this while you're young. Learn to say this. I don't live for you. You don't own me. You didn't create me. You didn't die for me. I don't live for you. I live for God. And I want you happy. I want you glad. I want you to enjoy life. But I hope we could live for God together. But if you want to do your own thing, I'm not living to make you happy. I live to make God happy. The Jews, Jesus said, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And to be a Christian, you know what it takes? Same thing in John chapter 5, verse 44. How can you believe when you're so concerned about what everybody thinks? I hope our church... Look, the reason you come to church is so you can grow spiritually. I want revival. I want God to deal with me as His son. I want to grow. I didn't come to church so people could inspect my suit and say, is that a four-button suit or a three? Oh, it's a four-button suit. Okay, I'll talk to you. You know, oh, you only have a three-button suit? So sorry. Where'd you get that at? A thrift store? And then you end up with, you know what, when you get a church, when people are concerned, I'm glad you caught that, okay? When you get a church where people are concerned about what everybody thinks instead of pleasing the Lord, you end up with a culture club, you end up with a social society that is crippled spiritually, and all they care about is, well, what are people going to think of my clothes and my hair and my oh my goodness, I need a mint. I need some. When I come to church, I keep my problems to myself. Amen. I want to be an encouragement to people who come. We all have problems. So I know that there is a level of putting on our best, right? But as far as trying to impress people at church, it'll kill you spiritually. You can't get close to God because all you care about is, well, do they like me? And you like me, don't you? Oh, please like me. Please, who cares? Does God like you? Does God love you? Your security comes from God, not other people. How could Jesus hang naked on a cross, rejected of the world, And the centurion still look at him and say, that is the Son of God. Because when they stripped everything from him, they couldn't take his character and who he was, God in the flesh. And that's how he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know how we get our security? We don't get it from each other. Although I like handshakes, I like smiles, I'm being nice. Christian, your security comes from God. And if your walk with God and your love for God is in the balance and it's not what it should be, you know what? You're insecure. Well, I don't want people to know, so I'm well. Get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. Here we go. Let me just apply this morning. Do you know, okay, the same faith that saves you is the same faith that pleases God after you get saved. 2 Corinthians 5 says we walk by faith, not by sight. You get saved by faith by believing God's word. Romans chapter 6 says you believe from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, and then you're made free from sin. You get saved by placing your faith in that book. And that same faith that you took to get saved is the same faith it takes to grow. How can you believe or put faith in God that receive honor one of another? And as long as, like I said, as long as you're concerned about what other people think, you won't believe God. Do you know how you, okay, do you know how you come to church consistently? By faith. By faith. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but and so much the more, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what the best reason for you to be in church is? Because God told you to be. Now, you can come to church for other people. Well, I'm here for them. Well, I'm here for them. Or I'm here for them or them. You can come to church for people. But if you're a mature Christian, you come to church because you believe God's word. God said to do it. And I believe if I trust God and obey God's word, then God blesses me. But if your faith never grows to the point where you can't come to church because of God's word and you're coming because of people, I love the old statement. It's true, too. If you come to church for people, you'll quit one day, too, because of people. Somebody's going to tick you off. Somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to misunderstand you. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. The best reason to be in church is because God said to be. And I believe God's word. I believe the book. God told me to be. And I'm great. When I come here, here's a wonderful statement. I love our church. It's an honor to be the pastor here. Amen. I love preaching in our church. I love the people. But if you were the only one here, would you still come? If I didn't change the message, if we didn't change the music, but you were the only one that walked through the doors, do you know how much a crowd matters to people? It shouldn't, but it does. They walk in and the first thing they do is, how many people's here? Did you know I've watched people come to our church and there was a family sitting back here. This was 3 years ago. I watched a family come to our church. They walked in. I'd never seen them before. I went to shake their hand. They saw this family right here and they ran out the door. Come to find out, I said, what's the big deal? Why would you come to church, park your car, come in the building, see somebody? He said, well, me and that guy, we got in a fight as teenagers. They're in their 30s now. Really? Now, I've only seen that once, but I thought, oh my goodness. Come in and almost get ready to have a seat and they were out of here. Once again, too controlled by public opinion. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me just teach you something else here. Do you know why you get baptized after you get saved? By faith. Because you believe God's word. And as a matter of fact, we have just a few more minutes here. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. And Peter's preaching here. I'm almost done. I just wanted to apply this. The first part of the verse, John 5:44, how can you believe? I think Jesus is literally talking to lost people that will not, they care more about their religion and what the Judaism was teaching than they cared about what the Bible said. And Jesus said, you can't get saved. You care too much about what other people think. then I'm applying it to us this morning. Do you know how you grow as a Christian after you get saved? By faith. You quit being worried about what everybody thinks. Look at Acts chapter 2. Here's how you get baptized. Verse 21, Peter tells them, he's preaching salvation, and he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's how you're saved. You call on the name of the Lord. You stop trusting your church and your good works, and you put your faith in Him. Look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" In verse 21, they get saved. In verse 37, they say, "Okay, now what do we do?" Look at verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" Key word there you ought to mark is "for." The word "for" doesn't mean "because of." It means "because of," not "in order to." In other words, Jesus is telling us here in Acts 2, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because you've had your sins remitted. Baptism can't wash away sin. Jesus got baptized and He had no sin to be washed away. No, you get baptized because your sins are forgiven. Baptism does not wash away sin. It never has, it never could. But that's what a lot of people teach. Okay, look at there. And then look at verse 41. Acts 2:41. "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You know what you have to do to get baptized? Well, praise the Lord. We get to do baptism this morning. Next, following the Lord and believers' baptism. But that's because He's already been saved. He got saved last week. You never get baptized before you get saved. That's nowhere in the Bible. I don't know why anybody would ever baptize a baby. The baby has no idea what's going on. It's called a forced salvation. No, you get saved, you place your faith in Christ, then you picture the death, burial, and resurrection. But you never, nowhere in the Bible did anybody get baptized and then get saved. Amen? So how do you get, let me go back to the question. First I said, you know how you go to church? By faith. Because God said to. You know how you get baptized? By faith. Because God said to do it after you get saved. Let me just answer a few more questions here and then we'll wrap up the service. Do you know how you read your Bible at home? By faith. Because God said to. God said in Isaiah 34:16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." God tells you to read His word. Isaiah 55, Jesus told us, "His word shall not return void." Verse 11. My Bible says, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." As I read my Bible, I'm strengthened spiritually. That's how you read your Bible at home, because by faith, God told you to, and you believe if you do, God will bless you. Read it by faith. Let me give you one more. Do you know how you go soul winning? Do you know how you tell people about the Lord? By faith, because God told you to. Everybody, look, I don't like rejection either. I don't like handing a tract to somebody, "Hey, let me give you an invitation to church." Okay, but that doesn't happen very often. Most people, "Well, thank you for the invitation." Or, "I've got my own church," that's fine. But God told us to tell the lost. I've never been invited to church by anybody except the Jehovah's Witnesses and their cults. I told myself, the day a Baptist comes up to me and doesn't know who I am and says, "Hey, could I give you an invitation to our church?" I've already said, I'm going to thank the Lord for them. I'm going to tell them I'm saved. Glory to God. Thank you for invite. I've been saved 33 years and that's never happened. I don't give out. I give out gospel tracts and I invite people to show them how to go to heaven because God told me to. Do you know how you do it? The same way. By faith. God said to do it. And if I do what God said, He'll bless me. He'll bless me. This morning, I just wanted to use that verse, John 5:44. "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" What is it that'll stop you from getting saved? Caring too much about what other people think. And what is it that'll keep you from growing in the Lord? Caring too much about what other people think. It's a lot in the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that, Father, you would please use this for the growth of our people. And then I just need to ask the question this morning. Nobody's looking around, every head bowed and every eye's closed.